Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's Follow-Up Friday, where we dig a little deeper on things that came up briefly during the week. We've been talking quite a bit about insurance this week, the industry that makes it its business to assess risk and give us some protection in the face of natural and man-made disasters. Hurricane Irene, obviously putting this top of mind. But what if recent storms are just the harbinger of climate changes that unleash greater destruction? Can a business that bases its risk assessments on past events prepare for a future that promises to be more extreme? Bloomberg Businessweek staff writer Brendan Greeley has a cover article this week on the reinsurance industry, and they're the ones who think long term. Brendan, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me on.
And before we get to the heart of the global warming question, explain reinsurance for the lay audience. A homeowner can't buy a policy that's reinsurance. Who does?
No. So reinsurance is insurance for insurers. So if your insurer, if your house catches fire, your insurer has enough capital on hand to pay the loss claim. But if 10,000 houses are damaged in a hurricane, insurers don't keep the capital on hand to pay out 10,000 claims. They, in turn, take out an insurance policy with the reinsurers. So they're huge companies, and they're massively capitalized. And the reason we don't know about them is because we never come into contact with them. But they have a huge effect on both rates for insurance and, in many cases, whether insurance is offered at all. So reinsurers took a huge hit after September 11th. And in fact, if anybody in New York is familiar with reinsurance, it's probably because of the extended litigation between Swiss Re, a huge reinsurer, and the owners of the World Trade Center property.
Right.
So they looked at the risk of terrorism after September 11th. Before September 11th, it had just been written into standard property contracts. If terrorists bombed your building, then you were covered. And then afterwards, they looked at that risk and they realized that terrorism does not follow the law of large numbers. You cannot model terrorism. You can't build a mathematical formula around it. You just can't underwrite it. You can't predict it. So what happened was all the reinsurers just realized that they just can't underwrite that risk, which is...
So did the insurance industry as a whole after 9/11 get out of the terrorism insurance business, and you can't get terrorism insurance anymore?
Well, it comes from the feds now. What happened is we obviously can't stop building cities, and we can't stop living in cities, and we can't stop living in New York City in particular. So the reinsurance now, sort of disaster coverage for insurers, now is underwritten by the federal government. But what's interesting, I think, about the reinsurance industry is that it really spends a lot of time thinking about worst-case scenarios. The answers it comes up with are sort of good markers for us about what behavior is sustainable and what behavior is unsustainable. So Rick Perry, the candidate for president for the Republican Party, one of them, recently came out and said that global warming is a bunch of scientists who want to get more research dollars, so they decide to study something sexy like global warming. It's real easy to make fun of scientists, and it's real easy to make fun of journalists and academics. We make lovely targets, but...
And politicians.
And politicians. Fair enough. But what I think is interesting about the reinsurance industry is that it's not that they're better people than the rest of us. It's that their incentives are aligned with the truth. So if the reinsurance industry is not scared enough about a risk, then they're going to get hurt very badly. The disaster, the hurricane, the earthquake is going to happen, and they're not going to have enough capital on hand to pay it out, and they're going to go broke. If they are too scared of a risk, then what will happen is their shareholders will punish them because they'll say, you're not getting enough return on your capital. You're not writing enough policies and collecting enough premiums. So their incentives are aligned with getting this right. And if you look at the risk of global warming, they are scared of it. They are terrified of it. They're spending a lot of time trying to figure it out, and they aren't under any illusions that it is not happening.
And in fact, that same reinsurer you were talking about before with respect to the World Trade Tower, Swiss Re, made a splash a few years ago by formally and publicly accepting the fact of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
What went into their decision?
Well, Katrina has been a big part for the entire industry. I talked to, you know, they were aware of it. I talked to the guy who's now the head of risk management for Swiss Re, and he was hired in 2000 for, you know, because he had been an expert in climate change. So Swiss Re sort of put a climate change expert at the head of their risk exposure and management practice. It's a very important position, which means that in 2000 already, it's not like there was this magic come-to-Jesus moment somewhere in the middle of this decade where they realized that they had to deal with it. They've been aware of it a long time. They've been tracking it for a long time.
And how do they go about assessing the risks? Hire climate scientists? Look at New York City's hurricane evacuation maps? What?
Well, there are two things going on. So they always knew that they needed to look at the meteorology of it. So the insurance industry, by its nature, is backward-looking. They sort of look back at events that have already happened and try and figure out what that pattern means for the future. And what they realized after Katrina, there were a couple bad storms in the years before Katrina, and then there were three bad storms that year. They realized that as far as hurricane risk goes, and a lot of global warming-related disasters like flooding, past predictions or past performance is no indicator of future performance. The world is actually changing, so they cannot use the skills that apply to most other risks. They just can't look at global warming and look backwards and figure out what's going to happen next. So
it's
so
the same inability to predict the future as you described with terrorism.
Well, it's not quite the same inability. They do. It is a problem in the way that terrorism does. Luckily for us, the weather does obey some laws that terrorists do not. So it is slightly more predictable. But what's interesting about the way they're approaching it is that Swiss Re in particular realized after Katrina that they were not paying enough attention to what they now call Factor K. This is K for the German word for culture, Kultur. And they realized after Katrina that they were aware that Category 5 hurricanes existed and that they could hit New Orleans. What they weren't aware of is just how many people lived in New Orleans, just how much value was at risk, and just how poorly New Orleans was prepared. The storm pumps, they had cut down the mangrove trees at the water's edge, which, you know, tend to sap a storm's energy. They had underbuilt the levees instead of overbuilding the levees. These are not meteorological problems. These are cultural problems. They have to do with the way as society assesses risk and how it prepares for risk. So they're now looking at various at-risk areas around the world, and they're concluding that part of the problem is meteorology. Part of the problem is hurricanes are going to be more frequent and they're going to be worse. But the other part of the problem is we're not developing in a way, we're not settling or building new properties in a way that in any way reflects the reality of the coming climate change.
Right. And we talked about this yesterday with respect to our local area, mm-hmm. and in Katrina in New Orleans, if they were cutting down mangrove trees to mm-hmm. put up shopping malls and new condos by the water, mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to insure against that in particular.
It is. And so, you know, there's an interesting precedent for this. Back in 1888, a city in Sweden burned to the ground, and it was made entirely of wood. And a bunch of reinsurers got together and wrote a letter to the insurers in Sweden, and they said, look, we're just not going to reinsure you for property damage to wooden houses anymore. We're just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And Sweden started building in stone. So it's possible, you know, mm-hmm. the people who ultimately protect us from this risk can send us signals and say, you guys have got to change because we're just not going to underwrite this risk anymore.
So the insurance industry could drive policy change. Last thing, and we just have 30 seconds.
Sure.
How do we know it's about good science and not just about insurers being able to charge higher prices by saying, oh, the risks are getting higher because global warming is going to be really bad?
Well, follow the money. They have a lot of capital at stake at getting this right. They get punished for charging too much because there's competition in that market as well. So it's really hard to believe that all of the insurance companies in the world got together and colluded about this risk. It's much more plausible to believe that that they're genuinely scared. In a capitalist system, if you've got a lot of money at risk, you sort of have to protect it as best you can. So in a way, the amount of money there perversely encourages me to trust them.
Brendan Greeley has the cover article this week on the reinsurance industry relating to Irene, relating to Katrina, relating to the 9/11 anniversary in Bloomberg Business Week. Brendan Greeley, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're going to stay on the money track after a break with one of our occasional Money You segments. And in this case, almost literally Money U, capital U, because we'll talk about preparing your college freshman for his or her financial life. Stay with us.